The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hey, I'm Leslie from Minnesota, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 486 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and coming back for his third visit in the last three shows, Lantessa of TouringPlans.com, Lines App, and the Unofficial Guide Series. We've been talking with Len about Pandora, the world of Avatar, and now we're going to focus on some other things down at Walt Disney World. So without further delay, let's get back to our discussion.
The funny thing was, though, I saw this the day after I saw Happily Ever After the Magic Kingdom. That was a completely different experience.
Nice segue, Len.
Well done. Transition. We've talked about it on a previous show. Chris and Michelle and I we watched the live preview, but we also said with our review that the old caveat that, you know, it's not like being there. So,
oh, not at all. So, not at
enlighten
all.
Us. Enlighten us.
Okay. So, Scopa, you and I saw Wishes together when it opened, right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I have a special fondness for Wishes for that very reason. The first time we saw Wishes, Julie Andrews narrated it in person.
Right.
I don't know that you can get much better than that. You know, so we had,
Mary herself, yeah.
Our friends were there. Julie Andrews was there. It was the opening of the shows. This is a better show than Wishes. It is beautiful. It is visually stunning. The detail projections that they are putting on the castle are so amazingly intricate and so well done. To say that the video doesn't do it justice is it's like watching a video of a concert versus being there live. It is exactly like that. There are so many other things going on around you. There are fireworks that happen in the perimeter around the central hub. There are video projections that are happening on the side buildings.
I wondered that. That's one of the things I asked.
Like in Disneyland.
And there are two other interesting things. Disney is doing, they're using, I think they are lasers projected from the bottom, but they're doing on the trees that are left around the central hub to make it look like fireflies.
Aww. But
perfectly clear. And you could get as close to that tree as you want, and it looks like fireflies. The other interesting thing that they're doing is on the side of the castle, the colors of the lights from underneath complement the colors that are being shown on the castle at the same time. It is a 180-degree visual view of just sheer perfection. The thing that makes this version different than like Celebrate the Magic or whatever is, in Celebrate the Magic, they were basically using the Cinderella Castle as a giant film screen, right? And action was happening on it. But the problem with projecting stuff onto the castle is sometimes you see like the pediments or the architectural details of the castle sort of like sticking out from the shadows, or they're casting shadows. Here, they've actually mapped every detail of the castle so that in the hunchback scene, when the hunchback is climbing up the tower, he's actually climbing up the tower of the castle. So they've created new scenes for Happily Ever After rather than just kind of projecting the movie scene onto the castle as they did in the previous versions. And that makes all the difference because they can highlight the different parts of the real castle where you're putting the video projection on top of the real thing, and it works really, really well. The other thing is that there's just so much detail, and the projections are so clear, and there's so much going on. Every part of the castle, the bottom, the middle, and the top, in any given scene, they're all doing three completely different things related to the theme. So like in the genie scene, you know, there's something happening at the bottom base of the castle. There's something happening at the middle. And then there's like, you know, some inevitably some sort of funny thing happening at the top. There's no way you could see it all in one viewing. But that's how much crazy attention to detail went into Happily Ever After. I loved it.
It must be a very expensive show compared to previous nighttime spectaculars like Wishes and Fantasy in the Sky, Remember the Magic. You know,
I can't imagine how much detail went into the video projection. But the interesting thing I've heard two interesting things. One, twice as many fireworks in this show as in Wishes. But the interesting thing about this was, so I watched it. You know, Laurel was there, and Fred and Chantal and Steve and his daughter were there for my team. About 10 minutes into this show, and the show is 18 minutes long, 10 minutes in, Steve turns to me and says, "The show almost doesn't need the fireworks. It's that good with the music and the visuals. That the fireworks are great. Don't get me wrong. The fireworks are amazing. There's some new fireworks, by the way, and there's some new shapes that they do that, again, you have to wonder how many Chinese people stayed up for how many nights to try and make these fireworks explode in those particular shapes.
Man.
No, I mean, so one of them is a cube, a literal three-dimensional cube.
You could tell that on the video. I remember seeing that.
But to see it in real life, you're like, first of all, what? You know, second of all, like, wow, that is some pyrotechnics there. But the fact that you could look at that and say twice as many fireworks as Wishes and say, you know, it's great. The show doesn't need it. That's kind of amazing.
Len, how would you compare the fireworks to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party or the Very Merry Christmas or even the July 4th? And how would you compare the volume of fireworks? Pretty close?
The closest thing I would say to it is it's not quite Reflections of Earth holiday tag, because that's just...
Oh, forget it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just...
Another time when we both saw that and went crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like a Berlin 1945 in terms of explosions. Oh, yeah. But it's more fireworks. The thing I think that the holiday parties have is theming and music to go with it. Here, the soundtrack is good, but it's not linked to the action of the fireworks as much. So while there are more fireworks, I don't know that they're coordinated as well as the parties. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's different. If you're a little bit farther away, like let's say you're watching it from the beach at the Pauley, you're definitely not getting the up close visuals on the castle. You're definitely losing out there. Disney definitely wants you to pay admission to see that detail. But the fact that there's twice as much fireworks will probably make up for some of that. So I don't think it's a loss to say that you have to be up close to the castle to see all the detail on the castle, because the fireworks make up for that.
I did have that question because I'm thinking, you know, what happens if you're far away? What are you going to see? So
you're not going to see the detail in the castle, but you will see more fireworks than you are used to seeing. And I think that makes up for it. I mean, I would definitely watch it just for the fireworks. We for my apartment in Celebration, we heard the testing of it, and it went on long enough that you were like, you know, this is some fireworks that they're testing. It was, like I said, 18-minute show, a little bit longer than Wishes. They've got it packed full of fireworks, and there are also some fireworks going off around. The other thing that I really liked about the fireworks is they are coordinated with what's going on in the show. So there's this one scene where Mulan lights a rocket, and it goes up the castle and then comes out as a firework. And to see that live is very, very good.
Did you want to ask this?
Oh, I was just going to ask I was going to ask about something we all commented on, which was the story. It seemed to lack the Happily Ever After theme. We kind of thought it was lost throughout. It was just kind of things meshed together, but maybe again we were missing something.
No. I think that's valid. You know, it's like a jukebox musical. They've got they're going to show scenes from different movies. They're going to try and tie them all together. I've heard a couple of interesting comments on it. They go almost exclusively with the newer films. Jim Hill joked that they the farthest back they went into the vault was Hunchback of Notre Dame, which I think is what, 1998. Mm. Like, oh, they pulled out the classics, you know, the late 90s. The other thing that I and that was fine. I mean, I understand the audience that they're going to. The thing that surprised me the most was they did not play Let It Go from Frozen.
Mm. Yeah, we noticed that too.
Yeah, and I think that's actually was a it's the right decision. I am always happy to see Disney make what I consider it to be the right decision as well, because it it would have been a cliche if they did it, and that song is everywhere else in the parks. Doing it here, I think, would have just been, it would have literally been Disney saying, we need to, here's a checklist of things that we need to have in a show. We need to take this box off. And then they didn't. And that was good. I was very, so for that, I was pretty happy with it. You know, overall, do I remember all of the individual show scenes? You know, no. And there's no particular vignette other than the Hunchback scene, I think, was good. The Mulan scene, I think was good. The rest of it was fine.
Where do you recommend that people stand?
In the central hub. You got to do it. I don't think you need to be super, super close to the castle, because you may lose some of the effect of the fireworks, but you definitely want to be sort of in the half of the central hub that is closest to the castle. If you're back by the train station, I guarantee you there'll be things that you're going to miss, which tells you how close you have to be.
So you got to get there way early, huh?
You know that? No, I got there 45 minutes in advance on the night that it debuted, and it was fine in front of the castle. I don't think you need to be there more than, certainly not more than 45 minutes, maybe not more than 30.
Wow.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, thought it was fine.
So that's a new thing in, well, sure, the Magic Kingdom. Were there any other things we can ask you to mention, Len, that's brand new, or something that's about to open that maybe have a different kind of wrinkle than we thought?
One of the
So subtle, Mike.
One of the things that staying in the Magic Kingdom real quick, we'll go around. One of the things that I learned, and you guys probably know this, but I didn't. If you play, you're familiar with the game Pirate's Adventure Treasure of the Seven Seas, right?
Yes.
Did you know that if you play two games of that, you get a fast pass for Pirates of the Caribbean?
When did they do that?
Well, I've taught you something.
Because we played like four games one time.
So wow. It's new, relatively new. So it's happened in the last month. But I actually played it to verify. You play two games. After the first game, they stamp your one map. You bring back the map for the second time, and you play your second game. They give you two stamps, and they'll ask you how many people in your party. You know, you tell them, you know, four or six or whatever. They give you four or six paper fast passes that you can use to ride pirates. So it takes about 10 minutes to play a game.
Wow.
I think there are 18 people in my party.
Exactly. So if there are, six. If the wait for pirates is, you know, 30 minutes or more, just play two quick games of Pirates Adventure, you get a fast pass.
That's great. That's smart thinking.
The other interesting thing that we saw, so Hall of Presidents still isn't open. You no doubt saw the post on social media from Vice magazine talking about the problems that they're having with that. So there's a decent chance this thing doesn't open July 4th or June 29th, whenever it was supposed to open. The issue apparently is that Disney and President Trump have not yet agreed upon a script, and it is unlikely that they are going to do that anytime soon. So Disney's weighing their options on that, from what I understand, according to this interview from an Imagineer, that one alternative they're considering is just going back to the old version of the show where just George Washington and Abe Lincoln speak.
That's a safe decision, yeah.
You know, I think it is. You know, all of the last few presidents have been controversial, you know, and the, you know, the cheering or the booing of the current president, yeah, is distracting from the ride. And there's no point to having it. If they, there's a lot of other things they can do that would just require a roll call of the presidents and leave it at that. So
you don't hear many people booing George Washington.
No, I mean personally, I boo Calvin Coolidge and Warren Harding, but everyone does that, right? Yeah. So
we do an extra special cheer for Franklin Pierce, who's from New Hampshire.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, that's right. That's really distracting to people.
Is he the one who people say looked like he was weaned on a pickle? Is that
yeah,
him?
I think that is. As is the case with everybody from New Hampshire, but we're both from Massachusetts, so it doesn't matter. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But I have seen the Muppets present great moments in history,
which is just
apparently they're going to keep that going. There's a posting out for another town crier, so I don't know if the old one is leaving or if they're expanding it. But that looks like that's going to continue on for a while, and that's good because I really like that show.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
Well, we thought that was going to be the last segment, but we have one more with Lantessa, and that will be played on the next episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. So for Lantessa, for Chris Iliopoulos, for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.